Praise the Lord. Well, God is still on the throne. Amen. I said God is still on the throne. You know, when you look at the news, you might say, God's not on the throne. When you look at the politics of the world, you might say, God's not still on the throne. But I'm here to tell you, I got good news this morning. God is not worried about America or the world. He is not losing sleep. Some people are losing sleep. He's not losing sleep. Because he is like a fire, an unquenchable fire that is always burning. Amen? And the only difference between God and me and you, well, there's a lot of differences, but the main difference is sometimes we're not burning for God. Amen? Jesus talked about us being the light of the world, and we are, but how much are you burning this morning? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus 24, and we're going to read verse 17 as our text, Exodus 24, 17. While you're turning there, I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you today that you want us to be a soul on fire for you. And Lord, as we hear that song, we heard that song before the message, and as we read our text, God, may your Holy Spirit come down into this sanctuary and to those watching by Facebook, and may you kindle a fire in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus 24:17, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire in the eyes of Israel. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a fire in their eyes. It wasn't a fire. It was the glory of the Lord. But when they looked up at that mountain, the children of Israel looked up that mountain, they said, man, it looks like a fire up there. Now the challenge this morning to you and to me is that the world would look at me and you and say, they're on fire. Have you ever heard someone say about a preacher when he was preaching really good? That man's on fire. Amen. You know what? I preached some sermons that I wasn't on fire before, but I don't want that. I want to be on fire when I'm in the pulpit and when I'm out of the pulpit. I want to be on fire when I'm driving down the road, when I'm in the line going to McDonald's. I want to be on fire when I'm driving down the highway. I remember a few years ago I was going to Tulsa, and this is before I had a Pike Pass where you got to give them the money, you know. And I had a book by Jars of Clay called Jesus Freaks. It was a modern-day Fox's Book of Martyr. And the lady said, does that book say Jesus Freaks? And I said, yes. And you should have seen her eyes get real big. I'm a Jesus freak, and I'm proud of it. And that's what a soul on fire is. Amen. Now, I want to look at about three stories in the Old Testament before we go to the New. And the first one can be found in 1 Kings 18. So if you want to go ahead and turn there, you can. 1 Kings chapter 18. Now, the story is what I call the showdown on Mount Carmel. And if you're not familiar with the story, I'm going to set the stage for you. It was about 3 years into the famine, and God had Elijah come to Ahab, who was a wicked king, and he told him, I want you to get 450 of the prophets of Baal and 400 of the prophets of the grove, the ones that sit at Jezebel's table, and I want you to meet me on Mount Carmel. We're going to have a showdown. I can't do that. Yeah, the Clint Eastwood music, right? Okay. We're going to have a showdown on Mount Carmel. And so Ahab, he complies. He gets the 850 prophets of all, and he also says, and all of Israel. And so all of Israel shows up. Israel, the northern kingdom, the more wicked kingdom, Ahab, the more wicked of the kings. and the 850 prophets and of the grove and of Baal, and they show up. And in 1 Kings 18, we're going to look at verse 20. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and he said, "How long will you falter between two opinions?" Now, I could preach on this morning because this is America, and it's much of the church too. We have people who give lip service to God, much like Israel was doing, but they weren't really living for God. You know how you know when someone's living for God? It is not by their faith, it is by their works. James said, "Show me your faith. Without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works." Works is the evidence of faith. Amen. And what we have in today in America, we have a lot of people who give God lip service, but they don't really demonstrate what they claim they believe. And this was the condition of backslidden Israel. They faltered between two opinions. They would say something about God, like they knew God, but then they had their little Baal. They had their little idols. And so Elijah's challenging them to get on one side of the fence or the other and believe God. And so, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. And the people answered him not a word. One way to get people to shut up is to challenge their faith. Amen. And if they're lukewarm, backslidden, hypocritical people, they'll just stand there and look at you like these guys did. So then Elijah said to the people, "I alone am left of the prophets of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but no fire under it. And then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God." Who is God? The God that answers by fire. The God that answers by fire is the fire that I spoke of at the beginning. He is an all-consuming fire. He's never quenchable. He is the Lord God, the creator of heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land, and nothing is too hard for him. And the only thing that he needs is a soul who's willing to be on fire for him and be used by him in this last day harvest. Can I get an amen? Thank you. And so they build their altar and they begin to shout to their God, and of course nothing happens. And so then about noon, Elijah begins to mock them. "Where is your God? Has he been on vacation?" King James says, "Is he pursuing?" And if you don't know how to speak King James English, you don't know what pursuing is. But if you get a Living Bible, it says, "Is he on the toilet?" And if you get a New Living Translation, it says, "Is he relieving himself?" So I think that's what pursuing means if you have a King James Bible. I'm not an expert in Hebrew, but he's really having a little fun with them, isn't he? And so they cut themselves even more because now they're really ticked off. Surely Baal is going to answer our prayer. And so finally it comes to the time for him to do his thing. It's 3 p.m. It's the time of the evening sacrifice. Israel had a morning sacrifice at what would be 9 a.m. and an evening sacrifice that would be 3 p.m. And so he builds his altar. He takes 12 stones for the 12 tribes of Israel. He gets the wood. He gets the bullocks. He prepares it. He digs a trench around the altar. He has them pour a big bucket of water on it. I imagine now they're thinking, "Boys, I think we're in trouble." And then he has them get a second big bucket of water and pour over it. And then he has them get a third big bucket of water. You know what? That fire I'm talking about is not intimidated by water, doubt, or unbelief. Amen? He's the all-consuming fire. He's the fire of God. And so after the three buckets of water at 3 p.m., go ahead and jump down to verse 36 here, if you will. And he says, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near, and he said, 'Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. What a beautiful prayer. You see, having a soul on fire is not about you. It's about burning a clear light that the lost will come back to God. Amen? I said that the lost will come back to God. And he says that turn their hearts back to you. This is the heart of a man of God, to turn their hearts back to God. And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that it was in the trench. And now when all the people saw it, they fell on their face and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Amen? You want to see people become believers. The problem is not your approach. The problem is not even your message. The problem is, you need to be a soul on fire, amen? And when they see the fire in you, they will say, "The Lord is God." God, that's what we need in our churches. That's what we need in our streets. We need a fresh fire of God to fall on us so that the world would know that Jesus is still alive, amen? Praise God. So we see that in this first story, the fire falling was a witness to the people. Say witness with me. It's a witness to the people. When the fire of God comes on me and you, we become witnesses to the people. All right, the second story in the Old Testament we're going to look at is found in 1 Chronicles. So just flip over there to 1 Chronicles. And chapter 21. And I will go ahead and again set the story. We're not going to read a lot of verses. Chapter 21. So David had censused the people. You say, well, you know, what's wrong with that? In a sense, there's nothing wrong with it other than God had forbidden it because he didn't want them to trust the size of their army. He wanted them to trust God. Amen? And any time that you are looking at, well, I got this much money in the bank, and you're feeling good about it, then you're trusting in riches, amen? Or any time you do this or that, and you look at that as a resource, you're trusting in that. So God didn't want Israel to trust in the number of people they had or the size of their army. That's what the heathen people did. He wanted them to keep their eyes on God, and David was even warned that he shouldn't do that by his general, and David ignored it, and he censused the people, and God brought a plague upon the nation Israel. And thousands were dying because of this. And finally, the angel of the Lord hovered over Jerusalem with the sword drawn. And God told him that because he's merciful, that if David offered an offering, that he would stop the plague, or the plague would be stayed, as the Bible says. And so David sees this, and he goes down to the threshing floor of Ornan. And let's just go ahead and look at 1 Chronicles 21, verse 24. Actually, we'll back up to 23. But Ornan said to David, David came down to Ornan and he said, I want to offer something to the Lord on your threshing floor, because it was a big rock. And Ornan said to David, take it for yourselves. Let my lord the king do what is good in his eyes. Look, I also will give you the oxen for burnt offering and the threshing implements for wood and the wheat and the grain offerings. I will give it all to you. And King David said to Ornan, no, but I will surely buy it for you for the full price, for I will not take what is yours for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings with that which costs me nothing. And so David offered the offering, and the fire fell on the offering, and the plague was stayed. And so this second aspect of this story is that a soul on fire not only is a witness, but it is a person who is willing to pay the price. It has to cost you something. Amen. Sometimes it costs you your time. You know, you can't spend your time doing all these other things and have a prayerless life. Something has to give. There's only 24 hours in a day. Amen. And so it has to cost you something. It may cost you time with friends. It may cost you time with work. I really need to mow today, but I guess I could mow tomorrow. Whatever it is, sometimes you got to put it on the altar. It's got to cost you something. And when you do, God will send the fire. Amen. And so we need to be a soul on fire. And when we're a soul on fire, we're a witness. And we need to pay the price. There is a cost to being a soul on fire. You've got to count the cost. A certain evangelist whose name I'm trying to think escapes me right now told a story about, he was speaking a prayer, and he told a story about being at a social event, and he was having a good time. And it was about 8:30, almost 9 o'clock, and they said, he's leaving, and they said, well, where are you going? It's only 8:45 or whatever. And he said, I have an appointment with the Lord at 5 a.m., and I always keep it. Now, you know, you may not get up at 5 o'clock and pray. I may not get up at 5 o'clock and pray. Your prayer time may be different than that. It's not about when you do it. It's about doing it and having a schedule to do it. You know, we make appointments to hang out with friends. We make appointments. We go to work. We show up to work on time. Isn't it time, church, that the souls on fire begin to make God's time a priority in their life? Amen. And they begin to say, you know, Lord, all of a sudden I realize I need to start scheduling my time with you the way I schedule everybody else's time. I need to start scheduling time to get alone with God. I need to start making you a priority in my life because I want to be a soul on fire for God. The third example from the Old Testament, not too far from where we're at, 1 Chronicles back in chapter 7. This is the dedication of the temple by Solomon. Actually, I'm going to just flip on back to chapter 6 for just a minute. Oh, you know what? I think I got the wrong reference. Maybe it's 2 Chronicles. I remember thinking it was forward and not backwards. Let's see if I'm totally messed up in my notes here. Okay, yeah, 2 Chronicles. So let's just flip back to chapter 6 first. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but just to kind of give you. So Solomon spoke. The Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever. Then the king turned around and blessed the whole assembly of Israel while all the assembly of Israel was standing. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has fulfilled with his hands what he spoke with his mouth to my father David, saying, since the day that I brought my people out of the land, I have chosen no city from any tribe of Israel which to build a house that my name might be there, nor did I choose any man to be ruler over my people Israel. Yet I have chosen Jerusalem that my name may be there, and I have chosen David to be over my people Israel. And so, you know what, when everybody was shocked that Trump recognized Israel as the capital of Jerusalem, I got news for you, God recognized it a lot longer, amen. And so this beautiful chapter 6, and I encourage you to read the entire chapter in your devotion, but now we look at chapter 7, and when Solomon had finished praying, you ready for this? Fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Can I read our text in case you forgot it again? And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain, and the eyes of the children of Israel saw it. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire. This devouring fire is what we're talking about. It fell on Mount Carmel on Elijah's offering. It fell on David's offering at the threshing floor of Ornan. It fell on the fire offering when Solomon was dedicating the temple. And God is wanting to send that fire on you. Now, maybe you've not been around Christianity very long, and you say, well, I don't want to be a fire toast, right? We're not talking about a literal fire, and just in case anybody's not sure, we're talking about a fire of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will kindle a fire in you in a way that you've never been used by before. Amen? And the first thing that has to happen is you have to be born again. Amen? You got to be saved. Now, what does that mean to be born again? It means that you have surrendered your life. Your life is that offering on the altar, that you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. You say, Jesus, I'm yours. You know, the reason God was able to use Catherine Kuhlman in a tremendous way with tremendous miracles is, as a young girl, they were passing a plate one time in a little church, and she said, I ain't got no money, Lord, so I'm figuratively putting myself in the plate today. And she dedicated her life to the Lord, and the fire of God fell on that woman, and she began to be used in a tremendous way. She would just wave her hands, and people would be healed. She would start out saying, I believe in miracles. You know why she believed in miracles? Because she was a miracle, because the fire of God fell in her. And you can't have the fire of God fall on you until you have a surrendered life and you're born again. Amen? And when you make that choice, God has got a willing vessel that he can use in this last day harvest. Now, after you're born again, there is a second work of grace. We call it the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, I come from Assembly of God background. Others come from Baptist background. We don't care about that. All we care about is, what does the Bible say? Amen? And it says, Jesus said that you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and to be a witness. Now, he didn't say anything about rolling on the aisles and speaking in tongues, although that's something that sometimes happens. He said the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to be a witness, which is that burning fire that people see. Amen? That's what we want. We want them to see the Jesus that we love and serve. We want them to know that something's different, and that's the Holy Spirit. Now, it was the, speaking of Solomon's dedication, it was also the Feast of Tabernacle. The same day that Solomon dedicated the temple, when the fire fell, Jesus came to Jerusalem. It was the feast. It was the great day. The Feast of Tabernacle has 7 days, and then the eighth day is known as the great day of the feast. It's kind of the pinnacle of the event. And it was the eighth day, the great day of the feast. You can read this in John 7, I believe, is where it's at. And on this day, the priest would go to this pool, and there was a big rock there and these steps, and he would dip a goblet into this water, and he would pour it out on that rock, remembering the rock that gave the water in the wilderness. And he would pour that on that rock, and it would splash and roll down. And this day, Jesus comes to the top of that mountain. Now, he's not dipping any cup in the water. He begins to shout to all these Jewish people that are there for this ceremony, if any man thirst, and his voice rang out across that valley, let him come unto me and drink. As the scriptures say, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then it says that John wrote through the Holy Spirit, this spoke he of the Spirit which was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus is inviting them to something that at this point they can't have. He's saying, if you're thirsty, if there's something missing on the inside, this glorious power of the Holy Spirit, if there's a thirst that people and things and money cannot quench, then God has the answer. It's the Holy Spirit. When his disciples didn't want him to go, he said, it's expedient that I go, for if I do not go, I cannot send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. So this comes later. And so we go to the end of the Gospel of John, and he says, go to Jerusalem, And wait. I do the echo. All right. Because waiting is hard. So they go to Jerusalem. Now, the Bible tells us there was a 500 that saw Jesus after the resurrection, but there was only 120 in the upper room. Only 120 still were waiting. So we talked about the witness, and we talked about the cost, and we talked about the dedication that we need to have to be a soul on fire. But the fourth thing we need to do is remember that the fire falls when He sends it, not when I want it. Amen. And sometimes waiting can be the hardest thing for us, but when we wait, God will show up. So I don't know what happened to the other 380. All I know is there was 120 that were waiting, that were doing what Jesus said. And you say, well, why did Jesus talk about water when you're talking about fire? Glad you asked. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell, what did they see? Fire above their heads. Little dancing flames above their heads. And then, when you have the fire, then the water flows from you. Amen? That's what Jesus said. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. But you don't get the river until you get the fire. You don't get the river until you get the fire. I've known a lot of people, you know, and I've been in church services, you know, I've been around Pentecost for years, where brother so-and-so is trying to push me down, and I don't want him to push me down, and finally I realize he's not going to give up, so I just, you know, okay, praise the Lord, you pushed me down, you know. And so, you know, there's a lot of people that can try to replicate the fire or replicate the water, but if it's real water, it comes after real fire. You hear what I'm saying, church? Jesus wants to send the fire of God in your life. Is there anybody that wants to be a soul on fire this morning? I believe that Jesus is coming soon. I don't know how soon. He may make us wait a month, a week, a year, a week, a month, a year. He may make us wait 2 years. He may come tonight. But I know one thing. If I really want to be used by God in the last day service, and I do, I so do, that this is the message for all of us, myself included. I want to be a soul on fire. And I know there's a price. And I know there's a cost. And I know I have to rededicate myself daily. Paul said, I die daily. How much more do we need to do that? I know there's things that I have to do that God isn't just going to, well, He wants to be seen, He wants to be heard, He wants to be all this. Okay, no, I have to do my part. And when I have paid the price, and when I have prayed the price, and when I have waited on the Lord, He is no respecter of persons, just like those 120 on the day of Pentecost. He will send the fire, and the Spirit of God will do the rest. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up. We're not going to finish yet because I want to give us an opportunity to say yes to Jesus this morning. Yes, Lord, I'm saved. I believe. I'm a believer. But I'm not satisfied with where I'm at spiritually. Now, when I say that, I know immediately there's some people that might say, oh, well, I can't go up because then I'll admit that I'm not spiritually where I need to be. I'm your pastor, and I'm not where I want to be, okay? So let's just get that out of the way right now. Don't worry about what people are going to think about you. Let's just get real with God this morning, amen? Let's just say, Lord, I know that there is a river that wants to flow from me and be a witness in this last day harvest, but I know there's a price. And maybe when you think about that old-timer that said, I have to leave every social event at 8:45 because I got to get up at 5, maybe you might say, well, I got friends and we hang out and I do this and do that. The question is, how bad do you want to be a soul on fire? Amen? I told you that there is a witness and there is a cost and there is a dedication that has to come. And don't give God lip service. Don't come forward this morning for prayer if you don't mean it after you walk out this door. Amen? Well, I don't have someone to play instrumental music to make this all goosebump and feely. I've just got my message and that's it. But I'm going to ask you to come forward and make a line and let me pray for you. And then I'm going to let the church gather around and pray for me. And together, we're going to ask God to let us be a soul on fire. Come on. Just come on up here and let's have some time in prayer this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just right here. Right here, Miss Frieda. Just right here. And somebody's belly button will be on the camera. But slide on over here. Anybody else? Come. Anybody else that wants prayer? Come on up. Come on up. We'll wait. One more. One more. Anybody else? Going once. Going twice. All right, I guess this is it. Praise God. If you are not coming forward for prayer, why don't you come and put a hand on a shoulder and pray for someone? Father, this morning we thank you for that great song by Third Day, Lord. We want to be a soul on fire for you. We really do, Lord. And we know that there is a cost, there is a price, Lord, that has to be paid. And Lord, we don't want to just give you lip service this morning, Lord. We want it all. We are hungry for a move of God. We're willing to wait for your Holy Spirit to come. We're willing to do whatever you need us to do. And right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we pray for these individuals, I ask that you make us that soul on fire. I ask that you, Lord, begin to kindle that fire in our hearts, that we begin to set you as a priority in our life, that you begin to do things in our life that, Lord, that we haven't done henceforth, that you begin to rearrange our schedule, that you begin to rearrange our priorities, that you begin to do things in our life that we haven't thought about in years, that you begin to circumcise our heart, that you begin to cut out certain things that are destructive, and that you begin to insert things that, Lord, that we would never have made a priority in the past. And so right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, our King and our God, we dedicate ourselves to you this morning afresh in Jesus' name. And we say, Lord, we are that sacrifice on the altar this morning. Let that fire of God fall on us, and that we might be that burning sacrifice for the world to see in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. All right. Elizabeth, how do you feel about praying for me with everybody? I knew you would. I knew you would. Now you guys gather. Nah, we'll let you. Okay, you guys. Hallelujah. Yes, please. All right. All right. Look at there. There's a soul on fire right there. Hallelujah. 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 Well, while you're getting that song ready, let me come up here for the camera and officiate the... maybe we ought to leave the song on too, right? Okay. Well, we had a great time this morning. The Spirit of the Lord has showed up here, and I'm so humbled by the love I feel for the congregation this morning. I tell you, I'm a lucky man. I'm blessed. thank you, Elizabeth, for that prayer. If you're watching Facebook and you couldn't be here to come forward for prayer, Jesus is right where you're at. Whether you're sitting in your living room or dining room or in a car watching on your phone, wherever you're at, the Lord is there. And he hears your heart. And if you're wanting to be a soul on fire, just slip your hand up to Him and He will come by and He will anoint you and He will use you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Elizabeth, go ahead.
Consuming fire, your heart's desire, living flame of love, come baptize us, come baptize us. All consuming fire, your heart's desire. Come baptize us.